speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Christ, I'm not good today, I tell you. Right. It's a nice cough you got going on there.
Yeah. Right. Hello, listeners. You're listening... What podcast number is it?
Number 6.
Okay. Hello, listeners. You're listening to podcast number 6 from http://watchwithmothers.net.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, I did that off the cuff as well.
Did you? You got the address right, didn't you?
I don't know. Let's just say watchwithmothers.net in future, because the beginning bit's a bit confusing.
Okay, I don't understand .net. I don't know. Why is that different to .co.uk or .com?
Well, I don't know, actually. It wasn't my choice. It was someone at Epic Win Media.
Mm-hmm. Which is the company you run, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not really in charge there. I don't really understand what happens there.
So when you say somebody at Epic Win Media, you don't actually mean yourself?
No, I mean a fella called Tom. He decided that everything was going to be .net.
Right, because I just don't get .net. To me, the glamour comes from .com, because that's American.
Well, what about .co.uk?
Well, I think that's a lesser co, because America's massive and... loads of money and glamorous, where all the film stars are. When I got my own site, it was bpperry.com.
So you're enthralled to the American dream, is what you're saying?
I am, yeah. I mean, I'm one of the few... I mean, I do see the Americans as a bit simple, but I'm not one of these people that actually openly despises Americans. I think America's done a lot of things. And also, I've spent most of my life watching American films. I can't really moan about the Americans that much. The only problem is they do have a tendency to start land wars and
That's
shit.
That's the thing. You say simple. They are simple. They're also superior because they've got shitloads of guns.
Well, yeah, they have got loads of guns, but they do make some shit-hot films.
They do, definitely.
I mean, I don't know if you want to plug your latest site as we're talking about films.
Oh, right. Was that a cue? Oh, I totally missed that.
No, not really. Was it a segue?
Could be. Now that you mention it, actually, now that you talk about films, you've reminded me of a fantastic new film website called slashingtheseats.net.
Have I?
Yes. That can be found at slashingtheseats.net on your home computer or even your work computer.
That sounds really exciting.
It is really exciting, so do check that out, listeners.
Okay. Is it better than Empire?
It's kind of similar. Oh, excuse me. I've got a touch of the hay fever today.
Oh, that's a bit of a shitter.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You're allergic to flowers.
Exactly. Right, we should get on with the podcast.
Right, yeah, sorry about that. That's what you call a preamble.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
It is, isn't it?
You're meant to do those after you've recorded the show, though, I think.
Do you? Well, yeah, but why can't we break with convention and do all of the things that you're not meant to do? In these, I don't see what's wrong with that. Everybody else does things professionally. Why should we do that?
Okay, we'll do that. And we'll also kind of... mark out where the preamble is, which is also quite unprofessional. You're meant to just sort of do it, aren't you? And then go into it.
I mean, I don't. I honestly don't mind. I don't mind because really, I don't care.
Yeah, and it's completely free, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, so who gives a shit? And plus the fact we've now managed to extend the preamble, we're still preambling. And now we're preambling about preambling, which is good.
I wonder if we can make it to the 5-minute preamble.
Well, just carry on preambling forever. In fact, the entire podcast could just be me and you preambling. And at the very end, we say what subject we're going to do, and then you cut in with that weird banjo music.
Okay. Actually, that's a good idea.
Yeah?
All right, well, we can fill up another minute of the preamble with just talking about what the show's going to be about.
Okay. Well, what is today's show going to be about?
Well, I think it's the fourth attempt... we're going to be talking about kids' TV.
All right, yeah, because we did try it before, including a useless link-up with Japan. That didn't work. And then we recorded one, and it all fucked up, didn't it? And who's to blame?
You, because you introduced helium to your computer, which probably messed with the controls.
No, hang on a minute. No, I had some helium. That screwed everything up the Japan side. But then the actual proper one was screwed up because Pete has broken his microphone.
Oh, right, yeah. As long as you don't blame me, yeah.
It's yeah, I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming him because he's broken his microphone.
Yeah, it was definitely Pete's fault.
It was, yeah. Because, I mean, mine was working all right, wasn't it?
You sound really clear, crystal clear at the
moment. Thank you very much indeed. So it's not my fault, it's him. He sounded like he was coming from a nuclear fallout shelter.
Maybe he was. He does live in South London.
So. He's very paranoid, isn't he? Especially now the Nazis are going to get in. He's probably just going to hide in a hole for the next 4 years and hope it all goes away.
This is becoming traditional, you talking behind Pete's back.
I know, yeah, because I'm trying to get a rise out of him, because I don't know if anybody, well, obviously nobody knows, but the other half of this podcast is going to be me arguing with Pete. So I thought I might get his hackles up.
Yeah, I don't know, this could be all in one. This could be a 20-minute chat between me and you, but the way the preamble's going, this is going to be a podcast of itself.
It's a big preamble. I mean, yeah. How long have we been preambling now?
We've gone over 5 minutes now.
Well, that's not a bad preamble, is it, really?
No, we should probably get on with it. So it's okay. About kids' TV.
Right, good old kids' TV from the olden days when we were kids.
Yep, and cue jingle.
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Right?
Right, let's go.
That threw me a bit, to be fair.
Well, you know, music will come in there, so it's all
right. Oh, right, okay, lovely, lovely stuff. So, we're having a look on the site today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes, at the strange suggestions of the readership. And yeah. I have to say, I don't recognise quite a lot of these. I recognise, there's one here written by Ginger Love Spud. That's right, isn't it? Ginger Love Spud?
No, it's Ginger Love's Pud, I thought we decided.
Oh, was it? Right, okay, by Ginger Love's Pud. Jossie's Giants, which that rings a bell.
Yeah, that was about a kids' football team in Newcastle, or at least in the northwest.
Right.
Is it northeast?
Yes, the northeast is Newcastle.
Yeah, my geography's terrible. But yeah, Jossie's Giants had a good theme tune. Jossie's Giants. It was a bit like Pants Man, actually, now I think of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do recall it seeming to have a cool introduction theme thing, whatever they're called. What do you call them? Music, whatever.
Yeah, I call them whatever you want me to call
them.
Yeah,
well, anyway, I like that, but I can't really remember what happened. Was it a bit like Biker Grove, but with football?
Well, to be honest, at that age, I wasn't very keen on football because our PE master was a complete and utter bastard.
He was evil. Yes, one of the most evil men I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah, I think the Second World War was missing a dictator when it came to
that. Oh, definitely. I mean, if he'd have been alive in Nazi Germany in the Second World War, he would have fought for the Nazi, and he would have been a bad Nazi. He would have been an SS Nazi, wouldn't he?
I think, to be honest, considering he had no qualifications, he'd probably just be an underling in one of the scientific experiment labs.
Or a concentration camp.
Yeah,
a low-level concentration camp guard.
Yeah, I can picture him doing that with his boggle eye and his limp.
Making the prisoners run around in their underpants because they've forgotten their sports kit again.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you'd have a big, dirty bin full of underpants and old socks, and they'd come in, "I'm sorry, sir, I forgot my PE kit." And he'd go, "Right, get some underpants out of there, and if you don't run around the yard in these dirty underpants, you'll be shot, because I'm a Nazi." That's what he was like. He was a Nazi. And he had a wob eye, and he had curly hair, and he used to wear 1970s tracksuits, and he was the most evil man in the world.
Well, there's nothing wrong with curly hair, but the rest of him, yeah.
But, I mean, usually curly hair is an indicator, as well as being left-handed, of being of evil. Didn't you know that?
Well, who else was? Are you going to tell me Hitler was left-handed?
Hitler was left-handed. Stalin was left-handed. You name an evil person, and they're all left-handed.
But surely about 30% of the population are left-handed, aren't they?
There might be, but I'm assuming they're all evil people.
Well, I suppose that would make sense. It's not a happy world we live in, is it?
No, I bet Michael Barrymore was left-handed.
He's not evil, he's just...
confused?
Just a bit of a mess.
A bit of a mess. Is that what you call it, is it?
Yeah,
a bit of a mess.
Well, you know, evil is an easy term to apply to mental illness, isn't it?
Well, I prefer to call them evil as opposed to mentally ill.
I'm not defending Hitler or Stalin, as clearly they were mentally ill, but they were also megalomaniacal, you know, monsters.
Yeah, but that's what the PE teacher was like.
Yeah, but
and he
Barrymore
used to look,
wasn't.
And he used to look at your cock in the shower.
He did, he always had an eye on the prepubescent peaches.
He did, he liked that, didn't he? Which nowadays is just unacceptable.
Let's not go libelous regarding our old
Oh, right,
PE
yeah, anyway, all of this is allegedly...
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, I love that word.
There's a disclaimer.
It means you can say anything you like about anybody and get away with it because at the end you put in the word allegedly.
Clever. So I didn't watch Joss's Giants. He's also put Huckleberry Finn. I remember that quite clearly.
Yeah, I remember Huckleberry Finn. It was one of the... I think it was... Wasn't it one of those ones where they only made about three but then repeated all of them forever for about 20 years?
I think so. What I remember mainly about it is the theme music. Remember the theme music?
I'm a Huckleberry Finn.
No.
I'm a Huckleberry Finn and I'm on a raft. With my friends. No, is it that?
No, it wasn't that. It made my brother cry, I remember, every time it came on.
What, the oldest one or the middle oldest? Oh, middle one?
The middle oldest one.
The middle oldest one. What was he crying for? The man was a calculated kind of character. He didn't cry at things.
No, when he was a youngster, I can see why that would push his buttons, because it was quite an emotional piece of music. Certainly set the stage for the show anyway. But
I can't see that.
It's right at the top.
No. I can't see your middle oldest brother crying at anything.
Oh, right. Well,
no, not even at death.
Maybe it was Huckleberry Finn that hardened him, I don't know.
It could have been, yeah, hardened his heart, and now he just won't cry at a damn thing. But I don't remember the theme tune. I've read the books of Huckleberry Finn, and aren't they nowadays, they're considered a bit racist.
Well, they're considered literary classics, aren't they? Mark Twain.
Yeah, but isn't the black fella in it a bit sort of borderline?
I can't remember. I was meant to read it at university, but I was busy drinking cheap cider, I think.
Yeah, I did nothing at university but drink. I thought that's what it was for.
It really is, isn't it? It's just an alcoholic institution.
Basically. I mean, I turned up there. They gave me a load of free money on the first day I was there. And I thought, right, well, off to the pub then. Lovely.
Yeah, and the pub sold you booze for £1 a pint. So yeah. it was all heading one way, really.
Well, exactly. It seemed to be just set up for drinking and having sex. And apparently I had to go to something called lectures. I don't know what they were.
And seminars, they were even worse.
Yeah, I mean, they had them at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, you can forget that. I didn't get up until 11. Ludicrous. I had a fucking hangover.
Well, Breeks has pitched in here with some Aussie shows that obviously we won't have heard of.
Well, I've heard of one of them. I've never heard of Wombat. Have you heard of that?
Well, I know what a wombat is. It's some sort of little tank-like marsupial, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a rat, but it's not a rat.
A huge rat.
Yeah, they have them in Australia.
So is that like a rigididge?
I don't know what the bloody hell a rigididge is. What is a rigididge?
I don't know. She's put it down, though, so it must be some sort of sticky beak-like creature.
I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be some kind of creature in the outback, because Australian television didn't have any money. So what they did was they went into the outback, which was free, and filmed a bit of wildlife over and over again, and with a load of people going, "What's that? What's that? You're kidding me." As she has, in fact, with her last example of Skippy the bush kangaroo, which was exactly that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terrible, Skippy. I never, ever enjoyed it. It was like, for me, it was like Gentle Ben, the American thing. You remember that?
I liked Gentle Ben because I liked the idea of a man who looks like a bear living with a bear.
I can imagine you'd just sit there entertained by the fact that it had your name in the title.
Mm. And yeah, and the misnomer of the word gentle, because I was anything but. Whereas he was quite gentle for a bear.
I just remember me and my brothers called it Genital Ben and then laughed for the next 25 minutes.
Because that's hilarious when you're that age.
It is. Anything that refers to a crotch or an anus,
yeah,
or...
farts, tits.
Boobies.
Yeah, boobs, fannies, sperms. Anything like that. Fucking hilarious. And especially if you can capture such things in drawing form in textbooks.
Yeah, if you can put them on old black and white pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I danced with death. Another evil teacher we used to have as boys was a man called... who was... I mean, if we're saying... was a low-level concentration camp guard... was a grumbling corporal in the front line of the SS... just yeah. about to be shot by the British or the Americans, but nobody likes it. You know,
so
that kind of
thing. He was certainly more senior than...
Yeah, but, I mean, he'd be in the army, wouldn't he? He'd be some kind of disliked, horrible, you know, nasty to the privates type of character.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and anyway, yeah, so, I mean, he was meticulous about his textbooks, wasn't he? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, yeah. As an RE teacher, he didn't really have much... He didn't really have much standing in the school.
He
had to use brute force and argumentative, you know, and competitive stance.
That's right. And the one thing you did not do was lay a biro on his textbooks. Do you remember? Because that was almost certain death if you did it. And then one day I thought, fuck this, and I went crazy. Swastikas, cocks, spunk, the whole fucking night. It was Moses with a dick in his mouth, Noah getting fucked by a lion, the whole thing. I went through the entire book, handed it in with a smile on my face, and he went ballistic.
Did that happen? Did Noah get fucked by a lion?
No, well, it did in my version of the Bible.
Like, well, that would be more entertaining, I think, than the real thing.
I did everything. Great big dangling tits with the word tits next to them and an arrow pointing at them to point out to Mr. Haynes that these were tits, and these were tits hanging off Judith, you know, a big Bible character. I did Jesus with a dick coming out of his forehead and a swastika.
Is there a character called Judith in the Bible?
Yeah.
Who's Judith?
No, Ruth. Sorry, Ruth.
There's no Ruth in the Bible.
There
is
there? You've got the Book of Ruth.
Really?
Yeah. Ruth's a big biblical character. If you go into Google and type Ruth the Bible, you'll come up with Ruth.
Well, I didn't know that Ruth was a biblical name.
Have you studied the Bible much?
I've flicked through it, you know, as you do.
Flick through it, yeah, exactly. It's only one of the most important books ever written. But yeah, give it a flick through. Yeah, it'll do. Fuck it.
Why is it one of the most important books ever written?
Well, I mean, if you look at the entire history of the world for the last 2,000 years, it has been slightly dominated by the Bible.
Yeah,
loads of people have died in its name. You know, whole societies have been crushed under its oppression. Its churches have got very, very rich. So, no, have at least a working knowledge of the enemy.
Well, yeah,
would be
just
nice,
because
I
didn't know there's a. Not a Book of Ruth, and that doesn't mean that I'm completely ignorant to the Bible.
Well, I'm assuming you know all the big stuff, the Jesus, Moses. Who's Jesus?
Is Moses the one who got fucked by the lion?
No, Moses didn't get fucked by a lion, that's Noah. Mm. Noah was in a boat, he got fucked by a lion, who was wearing a swastika armband and had a big pair of tits, well, with the word tits next to them.
Why didn't Ruth try and help?
Because she was too busy sucking off somebody else at the time.
Hello, I'm unpleasant African dictator Idi Amin. I'm just here to say, this is the Wash With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's head. Goodbye!
Should we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Pete's chipped in.
Oh, has he?
John Craven. Now, I know you're a fan of John Craven.
I am a fan of John Craven because I like Country File.
Yeah, it's a good show, Country File.
Mm. Excuse me, I'm just having a bit of coffee. Very professional. But no, Country File has annoyed me because they've moved it from where it should be, which is a Sunday morning. Mm. They've moved it from there and they've moved it to the evening time and they've got in a bit of glamour. They've got rid of Craven as the main presenter and they've brought in Julia Bradbury off of Watchdog.
Well, I've got a bit of a thing about Julia Bradbury, so as far as I'm concerned, that's no big thing.
Yeah, but it is a big thing because it's yet again the BBC seems to be isolating or just getting rid of entirely its older people. You know, it happened with Crime Watch. They got rid of Nick Ross and brought in that glamour puss from up north. What's her name?
I don't know, but they've got that guy Rav on Crime Watch, haven't they? What do you make of
Rav? This don't add up to me. This just doesn't add up to me. That's his catchphrase.
Look at this joker.
Yeah, look at this fucker here. What's he doing? He's breaking the law. This don't add up to me. Like that's what he's like.
he nicked a pony's worth of jewels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they've got that man whose name you can't pronounce.
Who's that?
Michael Ramanimaranima.
Oh, him, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Ramanimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranimaranima in, and he's rubbish, and he just does a kind of a Crime Watch thingy, doesn't he? You know, what happened in the old days of Crime Watch. And they've got the glamour push. He's got very good hair, I'll give her that.
Is PC Jackie Haynes still in there?
She's not, no. And neither is Sergeant Bob Cryer. Do you remember him?
No, but I remember Jackie Haynes very well.
Bob Cryer was a bald bloke with really big staring eyes.
Right.
Yeah, no. And they've also, I'll tell you what they've also got rid of. They've got rid of Eric Knowles and the Antiques Corner thing. What was that called? It had a name.
No, I know what you mean. The guy off Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, and he'd come on and show you a load of stuff stolen from rich people.
Well, they're trying to jazz it up with a few more rapings and a few more murderings.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I'd prefer it to be like the old days with Nick Ross telling me not to have nightmares, and then I go on to have nightmares.
Yeah, you really would have nightmares, especially about the photo fits of sex pests.
Yeah, exactly. And as a kid, you'd sit there watching it, and there'd always be something where two sinister people would break into a family home and tie everybody up and slit their throats. Yeah. And then you'd watch that and think, oh, that's not very nice. And then he'd come on and go, now, don't have nightmares. And you think, well, I am going to do, Nick, because I've just watched what could happen to my own family.
Yeah, and that happened in Lincolnshire. I live in Lincolnshire. The house looked a bit like my house.
Yeah, in fact, it's next door. That happened next door. And these men are still on the run.
Yeah. They should have just told fabricated stories so people genuinely didn't have nightmares.
Well, yeah, or nice stories. But perhaps people being robbed at Marshmallow Point and everything turned out to be right because they just didn't want the money in the end.
I heard your missus giggling then. Very unprofessional.
She did have a bit of a giggle. Just for the benefit of the listeners and readers. I do have the good lady in the background. So if you hear a giggle, that's not me doing some sort of weird double talk giggle thing at the same time. That's another person. It's a mystery third person.
I like the idea of being robbed at Marshmallow Point. They could make a kids' TV show about that, maybe.
Exactly, yeah, especially nowadays, because you're not allowed to put anything horrible into kids' television anymore, are you? Not like it was in the old days, where at least 80% of it was really sinister and scared you a bit.
Yeah, sinister was the word. Just looking at the list to see. No, yeah, Roz pips in with Chocky. Do you remember Chocky? I remember that being quite scary.
The name rings a bell, but what happened in Chocky?
All I can tell you is, because I was quite young when it went out, it was something to do with like a metal toy or a metal box.
Right.
And it was scary. That's all I can remember.
Well, I don't remember this Chocky at all, but I'm thinking even something as innocuous as the Raggy Dolls was slightly sinister. You know, the fact they'd all been thrown away into a bucket. They had their heads screwed on the wrong way. Or, you know, they were all deformed, weren't they?
A great theme tune to that from Neil Innes.
Raggy dolls, dolls like you and me. That was good, that.
It was, but the animation was quite creepy. What's the name of the fat one with the curly hair?
Sad Sack.
Sad Sack, he was pretty freaky.
Yeah, he was freaky. And who was the one with his head turned round backwards?
He was called Back to Front.
Back to Front. There you go. I mean, it was almost like they were physically disabled toys who'd been thrown away into a bin and then came to life. But you sort of assumed that at some stage that bin was going to be emptied.
Well, it would have to be, wouldn't it? Yeah, so you know what they'd all have to be incinerated.
Yeah, or put in a grinder and turned into toy mints.
toy mints? I mean, to be fed to what?
I don't know, to be fed to... bears? I don't know, but you know what I mean. I mean, they didn't obviously do that final episode where the bin was emptied. I'm assuming the whole of the Raggy Dolls took place on one day or over the course of a week. And at the end of the week, what we didn't see as children was all of the Raggy Dolls, like you say, being fed into an incinerator.
And then fed to bears.
And then fed to bears.
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chatters. It's Watch with Mothers. It's Watch with Mothers.
You've not heard of the adventure game, have you?
I have. Well, I don't know, because like a lot of these shows, I probably do know what they are, but I can't remember them.
Well, Squirtle mentions the adventure game and says quite rightly that it was a precursor to the Crystal Maze. It was also a precursor to Nightmare. It's kind of...
Oh, I didn't like Nightmare.
A kid in a room, and he's guided around kind of a... It might have been celebrities, actually, rather than a kid, but guided around some kind of computer-generated pathway to
right,
try and reach
it. I imagine the computer generation was second to none, was it, at that stage?
For the time, it was, yeah, beyond...
Are we talking Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, quality?
Yeah, we're talking that level. Well, you remember how good Nightmare was.
Yeah, Nightmare was superb. You're in a room. What am I doing? Tick, tock, tick. Turn left. Turn left. Turn left. Tick, tock, dong. I'm sorry, team, you've lost. And that's all that ever happened.
There was that annoying pixie as well called Pickle. Do you remember him?
He was introduced later on, though, wasn't he? Originally, it was just the sinister man with the beard.
Traegard.
Yeah, him. And he was horrible. And occasionally, you'd get creatures or wizards or whatever inside the dungeons, wouldn't you? Hello?
Yeah, no, that was
hello?
Sinister. That was definitely sinister, because there'd be like a wall made of a human face with cement on it, and it would say...
That's
truth
right.
accepted or falsehood.
Yeah, you are going to die. And then there'd be that thing at the bottom of the screen going tick, tick. And it'd be a face which was gradually stripped of its skin down to a skull with eyeballs. And then you'd be sitting going, oh, no, you move left or you're going to be fucked. And I didn't know how that system worked, of the thing being stripped away, because it just seemed to come in for no reason. They'd walk into a room and there didn't appear to be in any peril, and yet the thing had started up. That face melting thing.
I don't remember a face melting thing.
There was, in the bottom right hand corner of the screen, there was a box with a man's head with a kind of horned helmet on, and bits of the helmet would start coming flying off.
Oh yeah, then, I remember that.
Yeah, then bits of his face, and then eventually he'd be stripped of his flesh, and he'd
just
be
all the way
a skull with eyeballs. Eh?
It went all the way down to the bone.
Yeah, it did. And this was on a 4:30 in the afternoon, watched by 5-year-olds.
There's something very not right about that.
Yeah, you would not be allowed to put something like that on now, because you'd have, well, you know what children are like now, the mollycoddle little shits. They'd be screaming their heads off at that, whereas you would just sit there in horror, looking at, Jesus, that's foul. And then on the screen, some little prick from Wales, and you go, where am I going, where am I going, where am I going? You're going to die, you're going to die, in a fictional computerised world full of shit.
Must have been quite traumatic when you think about it, but not as traumatic as Roz goes on to mention Grange Hill. Do you remember seeing Zamo smacked up?
I did, yeah. I used to like Grange Hill.
He was all full of horse, lying on the floor in a gutter.
He was indeed, and it was his fat friend, wasn't it? His fat friend that found him?
Rowley?
Was it Rowley?
Roland?
Roland or something. Yeah, he found him, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. He had that, that skinny girlfriend, Roland, who was always... trying to look after him, and he rejected her advances for something.
That's right, yeah. I mean, that was classic Grange Hill era, mid-1980s. You had all the big guns in there. Mrs. McCluskey as the headmistress, Mr. Bronson, the bastard. You remember him? Bronson reminded me of quite a few of our teachers,
yeah,
as
definitely.
It happens.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then there was Mr. Robson, the nice guy PE teacher.
You see, I don't remember him. I only remember the evil ones. It's very similar to my actual school days. I've been reminded by you there are at least 3 or 4 good teachers at my school, and I've completely forgotten them because my head's filled with evil.
Actually, before Mr. Robson, the PE teacher, there was that other PE teacher who had a huge Mr. Wheeldon-style beard. Do you remember him?
No.
He punched another teacher for being a bastard.
All right, no, I don't remember. My mind's just clouded with Bronson, the evil Bronson.
Yeah, you've got a tendency to dwell on the bad things a lot.
I do, yeah. I mean, it's very similar to... do you remember Prisoner Cell Block H?
Yeah, I never actually watched it, but I remember it being
she
on.
She used to give me roses, wished you would again. That's how the theme tune went. It was on at about 11:30 or 12 o'clock on a night time on ITV. But out of that, I only really remember the evil prison guard, who I've now forgotten the name of, and some big red-haired woman called B.
Wasn't... I'm thinking of Tenko. Do you remember Tenko?
Tenko was in the Japanese prisoner of war camp, wasn't it? All women.
Yeah, Women in Prison. That's what I'm thinking of.
It was one of the worst shows I've ever seen. I hated Tenko.
I think my mother loved it, so I saw quite a few of those.
My mum loved Tenko. She wouldn't miss Tenko. Whereas me, I couldn't stand the bloody thing. I thought it was crap.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy signs of Watch With Mothers. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
Another one we've got here is Will O' the Wisp.
Yay, Will O' the Wisp.
That was a good show.
It was a good show. They only made about, they made about 13 of them.
Really? I feel like I've seen millions of
them. But this is the thing about children's television, is the fact you think all of these shows, they made hundreds and hundreds, and in fact they didn't. It's the same with Danger Mouse, it's the same with Banana Man. They only made about 8 or 9 of these things. And just repeated endlessly. Because you were a kid and you kept forgetting shit, you'd think you were watching a new episode every time you saw it, and you weren't.
Yeah, they've tried a new thing, apparently, on Nickelodeon, where instead of just making 8 of a show and then showing it over and over again, they'll make one show and then show it 5 nights in a row.
Oh, that's a clever
And then they'll make a new
idea.
Show. Apparently, kids react to that even better.
Really? What, just watching endlessly the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, that just the tedious repetition drills stuff home, apparently.
Oh. Well, I mean, in the case of Will O' the Wisp, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they made another Will O' the Wisp after Kenneth Williams died. Do you know this?
Yes, they did.
And Will O' the Wisp was redesigned, so he didn't look like Kenneth Williams anymore. Yeah. It was much cuter, and it was narrated by that bloke out of Gimme Gimme.
Oh, I know the fella.
The camp one. What's his name? James?
Do you not like Gimme Gimme Gimme? I thought that was all right.
I thought it was appalling. It was one of the worst sitcoms I've ever seen. I've seen some bloody awful sitcoms. I watched every episode of Brush Strokes.
Brush Strokes was
that?
Good.
Hello, Jacko. You owe me money, Jacko.
With Elmo.
I'm too cool. I don't care. I'm Jacko.
And now he's forever in the purgatory of Flash adverts.
Yeah, he is now. Well, he's not even in them anymore, is he? Thing is about that guy, Carl Howman. At one stage in the 1960s, he was looking to be a big gun. You know, he's one of these swinging types that looked like he could go on to be a new David Hemmings or something like that.
I know the type. With a silk scarf tied round his neck.
Yeah, going over London Bridge in an open mini full of swinging 60s ladies with loads of Union Jacks and the Loving Spoonful playing in the background.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. You've seen it in loads of those sort of films. But he was like that, and he ended up doing Flash adverts, and he's not even doing that now. I don't even know what he's doing. Maybe he's dead, or maybe he's a dustbin man.
So from sort of Carnaby Street to artificial suburbia to nothing.
To emptying bins.
Poor sod.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so how did we get onto that?
I don't know. Let's move on to something else, maybe.
Right, okay. Oh, no, we were talking about Will O' the Wisp. Anyway, yeah, they remade it as... they remade a new series, and I think it was shown on Nickelodeon, and it was shit. And the original version was all right. Do you remember the theme tune to Will O' the Wisp?
Just give us a blast of it. I'll remember.
Here we go. Here we go. There you go.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember Evil Edna. I remember the Little Mushrooms.
Do you remember the Moog?
The Fat Angel.
What was her name? Mavis Cruitt. Mavis Cruitt.
Oh, right.
Oh, I'm not very happy today. Why, what's the matter with you, Mavis? That was a caterpillar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can't remember what his name was. The Moog was... Do you remember the Moog?
No, I don't.
The Moog was a cross between a dog and what appeared to be a footstool. You remember that? And there was a cat that was a bit like Noel Coward. What was his name? Cat Flap? Something like that.
All you're doing is reminding me that I don't remember anything about it, actually.
Oh, right. Well, it was one of those shows. It's a show that they used to put on about 5 minutes before the news. Do you remember?
Yeah.
The same sort of slot that Banana Man went into and Danger Mouse. They all went into that same spot. And they were only 5 minutes long, and they only made about 3 of them.
I quite like Banana Man, now you mention it. That was
Banana Man was great. Narrated, of course, by the Goodies.
Yeah, every single one of them.
That's right, yeah. I think it was the last time the Goodies were all together. Apart from that thing they did a couple of years ago where they reunited and said, why has the BBC never repeated the Goodies on television since it was shown? To which you know, you could easily reply, because you used to black up with grass skirts and bones through your noses and go running after giant Dougals. You can't do that nowadays. That's why your show's not ever shown, because it was a bit racist.
It wasn't great, was it, the Guinness?
No, it was. Yeah, it was. It wasn't very good. It was like a shit Monty Python. They made about 8,000 of them, and there were some quite dodgy things in there that really you just can't do anymore.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad it's not about anymore.
No, I mean, the only thing really anybody remembers about the goodies is the Big Dougal and them all on a tricycle. That's about it.
What was the song they released? They released a single, didn't they?
They released Do the Funky Gibbon, which was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as bad as a Jasper Carrot released one as well, about Funky Moped. Funky seemed to be quite the word amongst comedians in the 1970s. But his was, I've got a funky moped. And you'd all sit at home going, ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha,
ha, that's hilarious.
What was that?
Is Bernard Manning on the other side?
Was it Alexei Sale who recorded, hello, John,
got a new motor? Yeah, that was Alexei Sale, but he was edgy. He came along in the 80s, didn't he? And he was all edgy. And he,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like all these old comedians. They're all shit, like Morecambe and Wise and Les Dawson. They're shit.
To his credit, at least Alexei Sale has stayed kind of left field, whereas the rest of them have all blanded out.
Yeah. I mean, I hold Ben Elton personally responsible for the suicide of Benny Hill.
Did he commit suicide?
Well, no, he didn't commit suicide, but he may as well have done. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
he was sacked by ITV when he was bringing in 20 million viewers a show, yeah? Mm. And from that, you know, he was hounded by all of these alternative comedians to the point where he just sank into a fog of despair and died of a broken heart.
But he wasn't very good, Benny Hill, was he?
But the thing is, did he deserve to be hounded in the way he was? I don't think he did, to be honest.
He was hardly Bernard Manning, was he?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the problem was, I could understand having a go at Bernard Manning, Jim Davidson, all of that lot, yeah? But the problem that the 80s comedians did is they threw out the baby with the bathwater, because they also included Morecambe and Wise and Les Dawson and shit like that. And all of a sudden, all of these comedians that were actually quite good were all seen in the same category as Bernard Manning.
Well, that was the thing. It was kind of a full-on sweep of everything that was in any way disingenuous. And unfortunately, a few characters got caught up in the mix who perhaps weren't as offensive as the rest of them.
And it is a bloody shame, because, I mean, I think a lot of the comedy that came after it was just inferior shit. I mean, if you discount things like Blackadder and the Young Ones, I mean, I don't personally like the Young Ones, but I know you like it.
Yeah,
you know, there was a couple of others. But for the most part, French and Saunders,
Girls
Lenny Henry. Oh.
Do you remember Girls on Top?
Yeah, Girls on Top with Ruby Wax, wasn't it? Who else? Who was the other girl apart from French and Saunders?
I don't remember. So you had, one was playing the Rick character, one was Vivian.
Yeah.
Christ, I can't remember.
It was awful. It was utterly awful. And that was a sort of rubbish we got in the 1980s, thanks to these fuckers getting rid. And Ben Elton coming on. Oh, fannies. Ooh, fannies. Fannies, know what I mean? Fannies. Mrs. Thatcher, good night. And that was his act.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
Oh, hang on. I'm looking at the list of stuff that people put up. We've missed a lot off. We've got
school. I'm refreshing. Hang on. I'm refreshing here.
F5, like a crazy motherfucker.
No, do you know, I've gone for the mouse plus recycle button thing combo. Right, what have we got down here then?
We've got Play School, Wurzel Gummidge.
I like Wurzel Gummidge. Play School was, wasn't it? It was two middle-aged men and a woman singing shit songs at cuddly toys.
Well, I had a thing about Floella Benjamin, even though I must have been about 3 or 4 years old. So,
well, I think you start young as a child, though, as a boy, don't you? You start feeling the first frissons of sexual excitement over middle-aged women on the television.
Apparently little boys masturbate in the womb.
Do they?
Apparently.
That's disgraceful. Can you imagine being that woman?
I know.
Yeah. But mind you, that's they don't produce spunks at that age, do they? Or maybe they do. Baby spunks.
Well,
you can't talk about that.
you can't talk about that.
That's no. That the authorities will be onto us.
But yeah, apparently you do, well, as a boy, you douse the inside of your mum with baby spunk.
Jesus! Mm. I'm glad I'm not a woman. I don't want to get pregnant and have a baby wanking inside me, inside my belly. Fuck that.
Animal magic?
Didn't like animal magic, didn't like Johnny Morris.
No, I mean neither, to be honest.
No, as I've said before on the podcast that never was, I don't like monkeys.
Hang on, you did say that. I still don't understand. How can you not like monkeys?
Because I don't like monkeys. I don't like the way they're jittery. I don't like the way they move. I just don't like monkeys. We went to a zoo. I was hoodwinked into going to a zoo. Twycross Zoo, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, where was it? Yeah, Twycross Zoo, yeah? And I went there and I thought, right, zoo, lovely, zoo. I can get to look at loads of animals in prison, brilliant. I love that, yeah? I got there, they had two cheetahs. Were they cheetahs? No, they weren't. They were leopards, weren't they? Yeah, leopard. They had two leopards. They had some sort of rodent-type thing in some sand, a lion that stank, and then the entire rest of the fucking place was monkeys, wall to wall monkeys.
Was the lion fucking a biblical character?
No, the lion looked like it was dead. It was just lying on a slab, and it stank to high heaven.
They're very depressing places, zoos, aren't they?
Well, really? No, I mean, not if they're done correctly. Because, I mean, one of the things that people don't understand about zoos is animals are extremely territorial. And so if you give them a good enclosure, they don't actually mind. Yeah. You know, you'll know when an animal minds is when it just paces up and down and goes mad.
But if their enclosure,
if their enclosure is all right and they're fed the right amount of food and all that, so they're not actually cruel or anything like that. People think they are. But they're not really, because, you know, I mean, in the wild, a lot of these animals wouldn't go any further than the kind of territory they're given in a zoo anyway.
Yeah, it's when they're rocking back and forth, banging their head until it bleeds against the brick wall.
I mean, you're talking about Soviet-era zoos where the enclosure was a concrete block with iron railings, with a dirty cheetah moving backwards and forwards because they've gone insane.
To be fair, that is my favourite kind of zoo.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'd love to go to a zoo like that. And if you could pelt the animals with rotten vegetables, even better.
We should arrange some sort of a Watch With Mothers field trip to a Soviet zoo.
To a Soviet zoo. Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd be happy with that, as long as I could hit them with rotten vegetables.
Yeah, that would have to be written into the contract. But
exactly,
We've kind of run out of time, you know.
Have we?
Yeah, so, I don't know. A bit depressing, that.
But there's loads on here. There's loads on here.
Well, I think we've done most of them, haven't we?
Well, hang on a minute. I'm just having a look. Dave's saying something. I'm not interested in that.
I'll tell you what, pick one out and we'll talk about one to close.
Okay, let me just... Mel's come up with quite a few here.
Yeah.
Probably out of all of them, I liked Jamie and the Magic Torch probably best.
Yeah, I remember it vaguely.
Yeah, he had a dog, big dog called Wellington.
It's another one where I remember mainly the theme tune.
Jamie and the Magic Torch. Ooh. Yeah, it was quite rocky, wasn't it? It's quite funky for its time.
I've no idea why it is, but only the theme tune seems to stick in my head. I wonder if everyone gets that.
Well, if you go down Mel's list here, Mr. Ben, I can't remember the theme tune to Mr. Ben.
No, fair dues,
no. I mean, I do remember a lot of Mr. Ben was narrated by Ray Brooks, wasn't it? Who later went on to be Pauline Fowler's husband in EastEnders. You remember? What?
The one with the white curly hair.
The one with the white curly hair, yeah. He was the narrator of Mr. Ben, and he was the narrator of something else, but I forgot what it is now. Anyway, yeah, he ended up as... was it Joe, his name? Yeah, well, anyway, that's what he did. So he went from being a benign, beloved children's television narrator to the evil man that basically put Pauline in the ground. Okay, right. Well, there we go. That's that's the end of the first half of the new pod thing. It's not going very well.
Do you not think so?
No. My attempt at an outro isn't going very well. I mean, in fact, it's in danger of becoming an after amble. And we've yet again gone on for so bloody long that this is going to have to be split up into two bits now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was going to put it all on one as like 2 20-minute segments right. with a nice jingle sandwich filling.
But we've now we've now done a whole podcast again, so which means that I'm going to have to record one with Pete, which is what another part two. So again, the lucky readers, I suppose, get two podcasts for the price of one, even though they're not paying for it.
Yeah, they have to listen to us for an hour and 20 minutes each week now. I'm not sure. We're actually gaining listeners. Can you believe that?
Well, they seem popular. I don't think we've had any complaints so far. Can you lot shut up? You know, we've not had that written on the site yet, have we? Can you be quiet, please?
No, we've had 3 reviews.
Yeah.
And they've all been positive.
Have
we've got
they
5
really?
Out of 5. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. Well, thank you to the people who did that.
Yeah, one of them I actually begged to do a review. So,
oh, did you? So, well, no thanks to that person. Up yours. But whoever wrote the proper ones, the ones that we didn't have to beg for, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for those. We're flirting with the top 20 of the chart. I don't know how that works.
Does that mean that we get to be famous billionaires and I get to shit on a gold toilet?
Well, hopefully it means we get approached by Bernard Matthews for some sort of sponsorship deal.
Bernard Matthews? That'd be nice. In fact, we haven't really mentioned that much about Bernard Matthews, have we, in any of the podcasts? I don't know if we did in the original one, which we recorded in a hotel.
Well, maybe you and Pete can discuss that in part two.
Yeah, because I know he's a big fan of Bernard Matthews' products.
He thinks they're sensational.
I think they're sensational.
Magnifique.
Right, well, I think on that note, we'll say goodbye, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so from me, goodbye. And from you,
goodbye.
Goodbye. See ya.
Bye.
There we are.